high enough. Whew, oh, lost my paper already. Ooh, that was good. How can you follow that? Last time I preached, I jumped around so much this fell off, so I'll try not to do that. I don't know if you remember, but last time I was very excited. Still very excited. I'm permanently excited at the moment. And I was just speaking about, also I've put it in the newsletter, that as soon as I moved to Liverpool, the Lord told me that I needed to give a good report wherever I go. The good report of what he's doing. Just like Joshua and Caleb did when they came back, they gave a good report. They said, look, this is what's here. And this is what the Lord has given to us. Which gave them the confidence then to enter the land. And there's just so much happening, and it keeps happening. It keeps happening everywhere we're going. There's just such an outpouring. And it's surprising us every day. Just this last week, I had a text from a friend who said that a prayer meeting in Rochdale, that was a citywide prayer meeting, was planned for one night, and it went on for four. They just kept going. Yeah. That's just down a road in Rochdale. There's just so many things happening, healings and salvations. And when we speak of it, then we're changing the narrative. In the spiritual realm, but also in the natural, because there's so much around us that is negative, that's saying it's all going wrong. There's going to be this, there's going to be that, no one's going to have any money, there's going to be war, there's going to be another coronavirus, and it's going to be this, it's going to be this, and speaking out all this negative, all these negative things. But we have a better narrative. We have the narrative of the kingdom, and we need to start speaking that out. Even when we just see the small cloud, we need to declare that the cloud is there and the rain is coming, that there's a sound of heavy rain, and there is, and it's going on all around the world. I didn't plan to do this, but I want to tell you a little story, a true story, something that happened. I don't know if you know that on the, I don't know if I'll be able to find it now, I'll try. On the night that there was the attack on Israel on October the 7th, there was this festival going on, which was basically a big music festival, pretty much celebrating Buddhism, and all crazy things going on that were not of the Lord. And this was all happening whilst then the enemy came in. And a lot of, I have a lot of friends who either work in Israel or are from Israel, Messianic Jews. And just, I think it was about 10 days ago or last week, there was another one of these music festivals. And they were like, you know, wanting to pray, like, oh Lord, you know, shut it down. Oh Lord, you know, don't let them do this. All these young people just like really celebrating evil. the Lord told them to go there and to wash people's feet. So they took a whole crew of believers, just went down to this festival. And I probably won't get all of the details right, but basically word got round that there was a group who were washing feet. And everyone was like, then they were going to do it at the end. So everybody was desperate for the end. And then when it came to the end, there was this big queue for people. Everybody wanted to have their feet washed. And when people were coming, they were saying to them, what do you want to be washed of? And they would say all these things. They just started to pour out their heart about what they wanted to be cleansed of. And they would, these believers just washed the feet. And then they said, and so everyone was like, why are you doing this? And they said, we're doing it because of Yeshua, who's washed our feet. Amen. and then spoke of Jesus, and it just had such a profound impact. And some of us need a little bit of a mind shift on how to respond to things that are a negative narrative, because God's got a better narrative. And we need to, instead of just reacting as we've always done, or what we think is the Christian thing, or what is a religious thing, we need to ask him, because he has the keys to people's hearts. And he will show us what to do to reach people. And it might seem like crazy, but usually when it's crazy, it's God. So, oh, yes. So I'm excited. I'm here to give you a good report. And we're speaking at the moment on the theme of empowered. Who wants to be empowered?
Yes.
Who wants to see God's kingdom come?
Yes.
Whew. And Mark was speaking last week about faith, leaps of faith, or the faith of leap, as he said it. And this morning, I just want to stir us to that place of faith and expectancy. But I want to look at where our faith is rooted. I'm kind of funny when it comes to emotional things. So when something's sad, I don't often cry in the moment. I might do, but not often. But when something really good happens, I can't help but cry. When I see someone get a breakthrough, or when I see... even like, I can be watching anything, an advert, I can be watching whatever, Home and Away or something, and, you know, somebody who can't have a baby gets a baby, or the guy gets the girl, or something, I don't know, or there's some breakthrough, I'm just like weeping over all the stuff, because there's something in me that loves to see people celebrated, that loves to see breakthrough, that loves to see the good things happen. And I think that's a reflection of the heart of God. And the other about 2 weeks ago, when I woke up, God said to me, "You're my golden buzzer moment." And I said, "What?" He said, "You're my golden buzzer moment." And he began to speak to me about what that means. And we're going to watch Britain Got Talent now. It's a bit long, but bear with me, because it's really good, and it's a local school class, well, fairly local school class doing this, and I just want us to, it'll say at the bottom, something field, flake field, but yeah, it's, make sure it's nice and loud, got to get the full impact of this, Flake Fleet. Wow. That's the Father's heart. That's what the kingdom should be like. That's what the kingdom is like, but that's what it should look like to us. Every morning when you wake up, it's like you come to, your eyes wake up, and God's like, bang, amen. Golden buzzer.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Every morning, because he loves you so much. And the Father's heart celebrates us every single day. So I want you to think of that when you wake up tomorrow morning, that God's just like, bang! Explosion of his love. And he's excited about you and your day and what you're going to do with him in that day, what he's going to do in you in that day. And as we get a revelation of that, then it changes everything that happens. Changes everything that happens in our day, because he's a good father.
Yeah.
And if we can do that, if we can celebrate people like that and have that joy, how much more him?
Amen.
How much more him? In my room, I remember in my room in rugby when I was like about 10, I remember sitting in my room on the carpet and just speaking to the Lord and asking him, what do you think of me? And I think he was going to, I don't know what I thought actually, I can't remember what I thought, but he began to sing, then this surprised me, he began to sing, "You to me are everything, sweetest song that I can sing." And I was like, oh, okay. That's who he is. That's who he is. We need to know the heart of the Father if we're going to do anything, because our identity, even natural sense, our identity comes from fathers and mothers. We need to know who the Father is in order to be rooted. I mean, they've done a lot of studies into the impact between mothers on children and fathers, and it's the fathers that call out things, call out, do the crazy things, call out the risk, call out the identity and the destiny. That's what our Father does. And if we're not rooted in him, and we don't know the identity that he has for us or the destiny he has for us, then the world will tell us. The world will fill that gap and tell our children what their identity is and what their destiny is. So it's so important that we know the heart of the Father. I want us to turn to Ephesians 3:14. This is Paul speaking and he's praying and he says, "For this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom the whole family derives its name," or from whom all fatherhood comes. All fathering comes from the Father. If you're a dad in this room and you don't know how to father, then look to the Father of all fathers. All fathering comes from him. You know, often as believers, we go through this process often in churches that when we come to know the Lord, we're introduced to Jesus. So there's all the explanation of what Jesus did on the cross, that we're forgiven, that we're brought into the family, that Jesus is our Savior, which is all true. And then often what happens, it's like, okay, now you're in. Now you need to do something. Gifts of the Spirit, need to be baptized in the Spirit, hopefully if you're in that kind of church anyway. Baptized in the Spirit, gifts of the Spirit, let's go with the Holy Spirit. Sometimes we forget to root people in the Father, who he is, his love. It says here, it's from whom all family derives its name, derives its fathering, derives its identity. A name is an identity in Hebrew culture. In this season, I believe that the Lord is rerouting his church. And I mean that in two ways. The first way is that rootedness in the Father's heart, in love. In this same passage, it says, "You are rooted and established in love." We're rooted and established in love. We're going to be rooted. We already are rooted because of Jesus. Because he reconciled us to the Father through what he did on the cross. So we're rooted already. That's our foundation, our core is in the Father and is in his love. And then we're established in that. So rooted gives us the image of a tree. Established gives us more of an image of a building being built up. We're being built up. So we're rooted in love. That's the foundation. But we're also being built up in love. It's like both. We need revelation of how high, how wide, how deep, and how long is that love. And it's funny in the scriptures because it says love that is beyond knowledge. So it's asking you to know something you can't know. It's praying that you would know that which is unknowable. But it becomes knowable by revelation. And it's something that needs to go past this.
Yeah.
It surpasses this. It's beyond anything we can think up because of what we've experienced in the natural. It's beyond anything we can read about and try and understand with our earthly mind. It's something we need revelation. We need the Father's love to come and give us revelation. So that we would know evermore how high, how wide, how deep, and how long is that love. We need to be re-rooted in him. And at that point when we're being re-rooted, we know who we are. We know that we're loved. Those kids knew that their teacher was for them. So they didn't care anymore. You know, the singing wasn't perfect. The whole thing was rather chaotic. It wouldn't have won any award on an actual real thing. But it was unbridled joy. And it was children just being free. Because they knew that they were loved by that teacher. And he gave them a confidence and an identity just by calling it out. Come on, we're going to do this. You have a dream? Well, let's go. You have a dream? Let's do it together. And it was all about all of them together. That's the kingdom. And that's what we get to express to the world. We get to come around one another and celebrate. That should be our every week in church with one another. Come on. To celebrate. Together, to cry together. This church is really good at that, really good at celebrating people. The deacons are really good at saying, this person needs help, let's gather around. This person needs celebrating, let's celebrate. Back in university, Karen will remember the Just Because days. At some point in university, I just had this idea that, you know, we celebrate people because it's their birthday or it's their, and that's great, but I was just like, I love this person, I want to celebrate them today, so we just made up this thing called Just Because Day, and we would pick someone and be like, just because we love you, we're going to do all the things that you think are great, and we're just going to celebrate you, and it was amazing. What happens in people when you celebrate them, when you call things out, when you say that you love them. We need more Just Because Days. Just to show how much we love each other. And that's how the world is going to see what the kingdom looks like and what the Father looks like. Because they don't know the Father, so how are they going to see the Father unless we show him? We need to be rerooted. And then in that place of being rerooted, God calls out our destiny. Another time that I was sitting on a carpet talking to God was in Mike and Adrienne's house when I was, I think, probably 20 years old, babysitting. They'd gone somewhere, I was babysitting in their house in Birch Green. And I don't know, I can't remember the circumstances, but for whatever reason, I was talking to the Lord and I was like asking him, what do you have for me? And right there in Birch Green, I had an encounter with the Lord where he said to me, I'm going to give you the words of life where life is needed. Yes. And the words of death where death is needed. I was like, not sure what to do with that. Powerful moment with the Lord of destiny, of carrying his word to bring life, bring kingdom life, but also to say no to that which is not of the kingdom. That gave me the fear of the Lord, I can tell you. That's what happens when we get to know the Father. We get rooted in who we are in him. We get rooted in who he is. That's how it, that's the way it goes. That direction, we need to know him first so that we can know who we are. We need to know his identity so that we can know our identity, because we come from him, from whom all fatherhood is derived, from whom the whole family derives its name, its identity. And then in that place, as we begin to live in that identity as sons and daughters of the living God, the King, the Father, the Holy One, then he calls out our destiny. I believe there's a big shift happening in the church at the moment in regard to this. We hear the scripture a lot, Malachi 4:6, about the hearts of the fathers being turned to the sons and the sons to the fathers. And I think that starts with the sons being turned to the Father. Yeah. As the Father is always turned to the sons. And then as we begin to all, every generation, experience that pleasure of the Father, that love of the Father, then we begin to turn to one another as generations. There's 1 Corinthians 4:15 says, you have 10,000 teachers, but no fathers. That's the shift that's happening in the church at the moment. It's shifting the church from a model that is all about, I'm going to tell you how you need to behave and what you need to do and who you're going to be because of what is our vision. To moving into, and that's the kind of more the teacher-pastor model, to moving to the apostolic prophetic that raises up. But what does a father do? It raises up. It comes alongside. It encourages. He encourages. He calls out. He speaks identity. And then he releases. Go do what's on your heart. Do the dream that is within you. Go and be all you're called to be. In the good family, that's how it goes, right? Raise up and release. You want the children to go further than you ever did. You don't want them just to serve forever under your vision. You want to raise them up and release them. It's quite a shift, but it's an important shift. And it's happening in the church. And it's because the Lord is revealing who he is as a father. There's an awakening happening all over. And it doesn't look like it did before, because it's happening in families, it's happening in church families, it's happening in small places where there's just this awakening of who he is, how good he is, how great he is, how awesome he is. And it's stirring us to be the family he wants, he's come for. And as we get re-rooted in that way, then we get re-rooted with our destiny. Because so often we're just stuck in the thing we've always done, the way we've always done it, being church the way it's always been, being family, being doing my job, doing my life, I'm on my track. And then the Father comes in and sparks something within us, and he reroutes us. Reroutes us into a greater destiny. Not that any of those things are not his, but he wants us to be in the full flow of what he's doing in and through our families, in our workplaces, in our lives. Yeah. And as we grab hold of his fathering and his love, then he reroutes us into the destiny that he has. Because he's good. He's so good. I experienced a little taste of this community coming and standing around. When I was, and I've said this before, when I was in Heerenhut at the end of my time there, and it was so, so difficult, and most of you didn't know what was going on at all. I mean, Mike and Adie did, and I don't know how it happened, but in one of the church services then, so Adrienne said, not going to tell you what's going on with Sue, but we need to pray for her now, so come on, let's pray. And then they recorded what you guys had all said, what you'd pray, what the words you'd given, the prayers you prayed, and sent it to me in Heerenhut, and I'm like, my life's falling apart, and then I get this. Just this, and none of you knew what was going on, but just the Father's heart just came, bang. This is who you are. Don't listen to what's happening here. This is who you are. They had no idea. You had no idea, but it was just speaking right into my situation. That's family. That's kingdom. That's kingdom. It stopped me going down the pan, pretty much. And then when I came back and I was in sabbatical time, you all just loved me. You just loved me. You just let me be here. That's family. That's the heart of the Father. And then in God's own time, after, you know, he'd given me a long nap and a good feed, he starts to reroute me again. This is who you are. Okay, come on, let's go. Because at the end of that passage in Ephesians 4, it talks about the immeasurably more. Immeasurably more. Because there's the re-rooting in the Father, then there's the re-rooting into our destiny, and then we get to experience the immeasurably more of the heart of the Father. And it says in that scripture that he's doing it through us. Yeah. It's not like he's just doing it out there somewhere and we're like, oh, there's God doing his immeasurably more. He's doing it through us. Yeah. He chooses to use us. And there's a shift that we need to step into that immeasurably more. Mark was talking about it last week, about the leap of faith, or the faith of leap. And a couple of weeks ago, Sue and Ali and I were at this thing down in Oxford where Rachel Hickson was speaking, and she shared a word, and I want to pass on a bit of it because I really feel that it is the word of the Lord for the moment. To do with that immeasurably more of the Father's heart. And she asked, God asked her a question in the morning. He said to her, is it more important to be faithful or to be faith-filled? I don't know what you think. But often God gives us these trick questions. Of course, it's both. It's not one or the other. We need to be faithful and faith-filled. And faithful is about stewarding what the Lord has given us. So he gives us something, and he tells us to faithfully serve, to faithfully work, to faithfully give ourselves to that thing, whatever it is. Whether it's a vision, whether it's relationships, whether it's money, whether it's our talents. We're called to be faithful with what he's given us. And Rachel was saying that the British people are very good at this. We're good at the faithful. Really good at the faithful. We like to just, you know, get our head down and do what we've been asked to do. And it's all about that faithfulness is about the now. What do I have now? And how am I going to steward that? The faith-filled, on the other hand, is about stepping into the promise of tomorrow. It's about knowing what God has said, that something can be or is going to be. Yeah. And we're looking, we can't see it yet, but we're taking the step of faith and saying, I'm going to step there because God has said it. Amen. He's called this out. He's called this forth. I'm going to, I don't feel like I can do anything. Yeah. And I feel weak and I feel afraid, but I'm going to take that risk. Yes. And I'm going to take that stretch. I'm going to step out of the faith. Full of now and into the faith-filled of tomorrow to see his kingdom come. Yeah. It's about investing. And then when you invest something, there's always a risk, isn't there? Is this going to work? Or am I going to lose everything? And sometimes it feels like it doesn't make any sense. And she was saying that, yeah, as often as British people, or often because maybe we did the faith-filled thing and something happened, we got hurt, or it didn't work, or people didn't support us, or it looked like God didn't come through, we were disappointed. So let's go back to faithful and stay there, because then at least I'm giving God back what he gave to me. I might not have multiplied it, but at least he's got back what he gave to me in the first place. He gave me this church, he gave me this vision, and I've faithfully stewarded it, and there you go, at the end of the day, you can have it back. And that's good. But there's a call in this hour to be faith-filled and to risk again in all those places where we've settled back because we're afraid, or we were hurt, or just because it's easier, to be honest. I've got so many things going on in my life. I'll just go to church and do the faithful thing, or be faithful in my work, or be faithful with my family, be faithful with my finances. But there's dreams in this room. There's promises in this room. There's prophetic words that are upon you here. And a part of us stepping into our destiny is learning to stretch again. A part of being empowered is to take that leap. Because God will clothe us with power from on high. He will come as we step. He always will. If he's promised, he will do it. But it's not a case of just standing there and, you know, he's going to... We have to take the step. It's a partnership. It's a partnership with the Father. Yes. It's a partnership with the bridegroom. Yeah. It's a partnership of stepping, stretching. Oh, it doesn't look like the money's going to be there, but I'm going. It doesn't look like the resources are going to be there, but I'm doing it. I remember quite a while ago, the Lord said to me, don't make decisions based on the resources. Mm. So if he's asking you to do something, don't look and think, oh, yeah, I haven't really got enough money for that, so I'm not going to do it. Just ask him what he wants you to do. Yeah. And if he says do it, then do it. And trust that the resources are going to come, whether that's people resources, whether that's being courage, whether that's finances. If he says, make the decision on that and stretch, stretch, stretch. It's time to stretch. It's time to risk. It's time to be rerouted into the kingdom things where we've settled. It doesn't mean we stop being faithful. We need to know from the Lord, where are you asking me to be faithful, and where are you asking me to be faith-filled? To ask those questions. Because sometimes we're just faithful because of fear, actually. It's time to have some conversations with the Lord about those dreams, about those prophetic words, and have an adventure with the Father. Because he wants to reroute us into our destiny, individually, but also corporately. It's time to awaken the dreams. It's time to tell someone you have that dream. It's then really much harder not to do it when someone else knows. And it's also time for us to rally around people who have those dreams. Rachel was talking about that as well, that there's, in the past, sometimes in the body of Christ, there's been this thing of, you know, someone has a dream and they step out and then everybody else is like, oh, okay, we'll just see if this works. Oh, we tried that, that didn't work before, or I don't think they've got enough money for that. No. When God calls out a destiny in someone, we need to come round as the body and be that apostolic prophetic lifting. We need to father them, whatever generation they are. We need to come alongside and lift and say, yes, we're with you. We're cheering you on, but we're also coming around with all that we have. We're giving you our 5 loaves and 2 fishes so that you can see the multiplication of God in your life, whatever that looks like, whether it's physical coming around, whether it's financial resourcing. Because we're a body. And when one part of the body is thriving, the whole body thrives. When one part is rejoicing, the whole body rejoices. It's time to awaken those dreams. I want us to stand. I don't really know where I'm going now, but we'll see. This is a time of empowering. It's a time of mobilization. It's a time of movement. And as I said, the Lord wants to reroot us in our identity in Him in order to reroot us into our destiny. And the time is not for us to just stay in that place of needing over and over again to hear, He loves me, but not moving. We need both. We need to hear the love and move in that love. We need to be faithful and faith-filled. There's a movement that He wants to do. I'm just going to begin praying, and if anybody else wants to join me in facilitating this moment, please do.
Yeah, that's so powerful. And just in this moment here, this a couple of weeks ago, I mentioned this nevertheless. Remember when Peter,